On January the 18th, we commemorate St. Athanasius the Great, Archbishop of Alexandria. St. Cyril, Archbishop of Alexandria. Venerable Athanasius, Abbot of Sion Mesk and Vologda. Righteous Athanasius of Novotzol. Venerable Marcion of Cyrus and Syria. Venerable Schema Monk Cyril and Schema Nun Maria, the parents of St. Sergius of Radonezh. St. Joachim I, Patriarch of Trnovo in Bulgaria. St. Maximus, Archbishop of Serbia. St. Maximus the New. St. Ephrem the Lesser. Venerable Iron Monk Alexei of Teklati. St. Athanasius and Cyril were Archbishops of Alexandria. These wise teachers of truth and defenders of Christ's Church share a joint feast in recognition of their dogmatic writings which affirm the truth of the Orthodox faith, correctly interpret the Holy Scripture, and censure the delusions of the heretics. St. Athanasius took part in the first ecumenical council when he was still a deacon. He surpassed everyone there in his zeal to uphold the teaching that Christ is consubstantial, in other words, homoousios, with the Father, and not merely a creature, as the Arians proclaimed. This radiant beacon of orthodoxy spent most of his life in exile from his see. Because of the plotting of his enemies, he returned to his flock as he was approaching the end of his life. Like an evening star, he illumined the Orthodox faithful with his words for a little while, then reposed in 373. He is also commemorated on May 2nd, the transfer of his holy relics. St. Athanasius and Cyril were Archbishops of Alexandria. These wise teachers of truth and defenders of Christ's Church share a joint feast in recognition of their dogmatic writings, which affirm the truth of the Orthodox faith, correctly interpret the Holy Scripture, and censure the delusions of the heretics. St. Cyril was the nephew of Patriarch Theophilus of Alexandria, who educated him from his youth. He succeeded to his uncle's position in 412, but was deposed through the intrigues of the Nestorian heretics. He later resumed his see, however. St. Cyril presided at the Third Ecumenical Council in 431, which censured the Nestorian blasphemy against the Most Holy Theotokos. His wise words demonstrated the error of their false doctrine. St. Cyril departed the Lord in the year 444, and is also commemorated on June 9th, the day of his repose. St. Athanasius of Synodem and Vologda was a disciple of St. Alexander of Sphere, commemorated on August 30th. After the death of his mentor, he established the Dormition Hermitage in the forests of Karelia, not far from the city of Olonets, on an island of Lake Synodem. The slander and pettiness of the local inhabitants compelled St. Athanasius to move back to the Sphera Monastery, where they chose him as igumen. Later returning to the Dormition Hermitage, St. Athanasius died in about the year 1550, in great old age, and was buried on one of the promontories of Roschik Island. Afterwards, a church was built over his grave, named for St. Athanasius and Cyril of Alexandria. The incorrupt relics of St. Athanasius were placed in this church in 1720. Righteous Athanasius of Novgorod went at the end of the 16th century from the Kargopol region to the Olonets land, where he founded a monastery 78 versts from what later became the city of Petrozavodsk. The saint died at the Verkhoyetsk suburb not far from Shenkursk. Saint Marcion of Cyrus lived in the desert near the city of Cyrus. He built a small hut and settled in it, passing his time in prayer, singing psalms and reading spiritual books. He ate very little food, just enough to keep him alive. Reports of his holy life attracted to him many zealous ascetics, and St. Marcion established a monastery for them. God's blessing rested upon the saint, and he possessed the gift of wonder-working. Once a serpent crawled into his cell. The saint made the sign of the cross, and the serpent perished, burned up by flames. At night, when the ascetic read, a heavenly light shone for him. The monk also worked many other miracles on behalf of the brethren. He died in peace about the year 388. St. Cyril and his wife Maria were the parents of St. Sergius of Radonezh, commemorated on September 25th. They belonged to the nobility, but more importantly, they were devout and faithful Christians who were adorned with every virtue. When the child in Maria's womb cried out three times in church during liturgy, people were astonished. Although frightened at first, Maria came to see this event as a sign from God that her child would become a chosen vessel of divine grace. She and her husband agreed that if the child was a boy, they would bring him to church and dedicate him to God. This child, the second of their three sons, was born around 1314. He was named Bartholomew at his baptism. Because of civil strife, St. Cyril moved his family from Rostov to Radonezh when Bartholomew was still a boy. Later, when their son expressed the desire to enter the monastic life, St. Cyril and Maria asked him to wait and take care of them until they passed away. Because his brothers Stephen and Peter were both married and had their own family responsibilities. The young Bartholomew obeyed his parents and did everything he could to please them. They later decided to retire to separate monasteries and departed to the Lord after a few years. It is believed that both St. Cyril and Maria reposed in the year 1337. 40 days after burying his parents, Bartholomew settled their estate, giving his share to his brother Peter. He then went to the monastery when he was 23 years old and was tonsured on October 7th with the name Sergius, in honor of the martyr St. Sergius, who was commemorated on that day. As everyone knows, St. Sergius of Radonezh became one of Russia's greatest and most revered saints. St. Cyril and Maria were glorified by the Orthodox Church of Russia in 1992. They are also commemorated on September 28th and July 6th, Synaxis of the Saints of Radonezh. No information is available on St. Joachim I, Patriarch of Trnava in Bulgaria, and St. Maximus, the Archbishop of Serbia. St. Maximus the New was the son of King Stephen of Serbia, commemorated on December 10th. He became a monk at Manasia, but had to flee into a mountainous region of Romania because of the Muslims. He was consecrated as Metropolitan of Valachia. After a life of great spiritual endeavors, he fell asleep in the Lord on January 18th, 1516, in a monastery he had founded. Today, little is known about the life of Venerable Ephrem the Lesser, a great 11th century writer, translator, philosopher, and defender of the Georgian Church. His work, reminiscences, and other sources, however, provide us with the means to speculate about the major periods of his life and labors. In 1027, when King Bagrat IV, 1027-1072, ascended the Georgian throne, many noblemen of the Tower region in southern Georgia relocated to Greece. Among them was the Honorable Vash, son of Karichi, whom scholars believe was Ephrem's father. After receiving a Greek education in Constantinople, Ephrem settled in the Black Mountains near Antioch and began his labors there. His achievements in Georgian theological and philosophical writing are immeasurable. The number of his works is almost 100, and the subjects cover nearly every branch of theological inquiry. Ephrem even developed his own theory of translation, which later formed the foundation for written composition in the Georgian language. His theory consists of three essential points. 1. A composition must be translated from the original, that is, from the language in which it was first written. 2. The translation must carry the same literal meaning as the original, but accuracy in this regard must not violate the nature of the language into which the text is being translated. 3. A section of commentary that examines all relevant historical, grammatical, and literary issues should be included with the translated text. Ephrem translated 5 of the works of St. Dionysius the Areopagite, the Ascetic Rules of St. Basil the Great, the writings of St. Ephrem the Syrian, commentaries on the Epistles and Psalms, and many other important patristic writings. Among Ephrem the Lesser's original works, his most significant is an explanation of the reasons for the conversion of Georgia, a compilation of existing essays and his own commentaries on the nation's conversion. In the second half of the 11th century, the monks of Antioch and the Black Mountains began to deny the independence of the Georgian Church. Among other claims, they argued that none of the apostles had preached the Christian faith in Georgia. It became necessary to prove that the Georgian church was indeed autocephalous, and members of the nation's elite accordingly called upon Ephrem to settle this issue. Ephrem studied many patristic writings in the original Greek, gathered the ancient sources, and succeeded in fully securing the independent existence of the Georgian church. St. Ephrem wrote the following about the apostles' preaching. Know that from the time the apostles were preaching, according to the prophet David, their voice was heard through all the earth, and their words resounded in every village. That's from Psalm 18:4. In Georgia, Andrew I called preached the gospel in Abkhazia, now Abkhazeti, and from there he journeyed to Ossetia, now Shida Kartli. Bartholomew also preached in Georgia, in the Kartli region. St. Ephrem never left the Black Mountains. In 1091, he was enthroned as the abbot of Castana Monastery. The precise location of Castana is unknown, but according to modern archaeologists, it was probably in the Black Mountains. For a full discussion of the subject, see Washtag Z. Diobadze, Materials for the Study of Georgian Monasteries in the Western Environs of Antioch on Orontes, Leuven Corpus Scriptorum Christianorum Orientalium, written in 1976, particularly on pages 101 to 3. Our Holy Father Ephrem reposed in the Lord around the year 1101. He is included in a list of the departed compiled by the Council of Ruisi Urbanisi in 1103, and the year of his death has been approximated from the information given in the source. Ephrem was canonized by the Orthodox Church of Georgia because of his God-pleasing life and the many commendable works he performed on behalf of the Church and his nation. St. Alexei Shushania was born September 23, 1852, in the village of Nokalekevi, in the Sanaki district of San Megrelo, to a pious Christian couple. His father died in 1868, after giving the 16-year-old future hero monk his blessing to care for the family. In the same year that his father died, Alexei journeyed to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, and from there to Constantinople to visit his uncle, Islam Shushania, a successful merchant and a clever and pious man. During this visit, Alexei became fascinated with the trade industry and resolved to become a merchant as well, but he would soon discover that God's will was different from his own. One day, Alexei borrowed a small icon of St. John the Baptist from his uncle, confined himself to his room, and there began to experience great inner warfare. He was moved by profound love for his mother, sisters, brothers, and friends, but at the same time, he sensed an invisible force calling him to the spiritual life. After several agonizing hours, Alexei finally asked himself, "How can I fulfill my father's will? He entrusted me with the responsibility to look after the family. How can I reconcile this with God's calling?" To his great wonder, an invisible instructor answered him, saying, "If you die now, who will take over your responsibilities?" The answer was clear. "God will," Alexei proclaimed, and he heard the voice again. "So die to the world, and trust everything to God, and he will minister to your family." The encounter transformed Alexei's life. Afterwards, he confined himself to his room for months, reading the Holy Scriptures and keeping a strict fast. Witnessing the radical change in Alexei's way of life, his uncle thought it would be best for them to leave Constantinople and return to Georgia. It was not long before Alexei's loved ones realized he had made a covenant with God and that he would enter the monastic life. His brothers and sisters were distressed upon hearing the news, but his mother gave thanks to God and blessed her son. At the age of 20, Alexei moved to Teklati Women's Monastery. He began to lead a strict ascetic life and went from village to village, caring for those ill with tuberculosis, cholera, and other serious illnesses, and burying the corpses of the homeless. Several years passed, and many became convinced that Alexei was a fool for Christ. He preached the word of God with intensity, and his life was an example for many. His preaching inspired his mother, Eleni, his younger sister, Salome, and his brother, Besarion, to join him in the monastic life. After he was tonsured a monk, Besarion made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and remained there for several years. Because of his exemplary service to the Lord, he was ordained a priest at Mardvili Monastery, Later, he was tonsured into the great schema. Alexei also spent time on Mount Athos. After returning from the Holy Mountain, he made a pilgrimage to the Kiev Caves Monastery, then returned to Georgia to continue his labors. Around the year 1885, St. Alexei moved to Gelati Monastery, where he continued to study and produce several original works. In 1886, he was reassigned to Kobe Monastery and ordained a deacon by Bishop Grigor. And in 1888, he was ordained a hieromonk. 2 years later, in 1890, he became ill and returned to be with his mother and sisters at the Gelati Monastery. According to God's will, his health was restored, and in 1891, Alexei fashioned a cell for himself in the mountainous village of Menji, also called Archangel's Hill, near the place where he was born. He gathered his disciples and undertook a stricter ascetic life. Father Alexei's health was so improved that he was able to celebrate the divine services again. The Holy Father would receive alms, but he distributed most of what was given to him. He divided the alms in 3 parts. The first he put aside for his personal needs, the second for the church and its guests, and the third for the poor and infirm. St. Alexei kept a life-size cross in his cell, and when he prayed, he supported the cross on his back, since it reminded him of the position in which St. Simon of Cyrene carried the Holy Cross to Christ's crucifixion on Golgotha. In spite of his strict ascetic life, Hieromonk Alexei was remarkably close to the people in his community and was loved by many for the spiritual warmth that he radiated. After many years, the strict ascetic life finally took its toll on Father Alexei's health. He dismissed his pupils and spent the last years of his earthly life, from around the year 1915, with his cousins, the Skemanons, Akepsima, and Pasto. St. Alexei reposed on January 18, 1923, frail from a long and labor-filled life in the service of the Lord. For 40 days after his death, the Skemanons, Akepsima, and Pasto remained in his cell for fear that the communist government's henchmen would destroy his humble dwelling. Later, they buried Father Alexei's body at the Klati, and themselves began to labor at the Archangel's Monastery. With the blessing of Metropolitan Ephrem of Batumi, Hemokimedi, and the Chikondidi, Skemanon, Akepsima, and Abbess Pasto translated Father Alexei's incorrupt relics from Tiklati to the Archangel's Monastery and buried them near the east wall of the temple on January 8, 1960. St. Alexei was canonized on September 18, 1995.